Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Our politics is going to be a great show. We're going to open the show talking about the hearing that occurred yesterday. We're going to talk about it again later in the show. But Jimmy, any general comments on that hearing?
Yeah, I think the most important thing for everyone to consider is that this was not a unbiased hearing. It was a political hearing that was derived from the Democratic plan to ensure that January 6th, quote, the insurrection, was a way to keep Donald Trump from being involved in politics again.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work personally.
No, it's not working. And, you know, the sad thing is that it really undermines the credibility of any type of real serious look into what happened January 6th.
Right.
And it also undermines any potential look. It was part of the intent. It was to divert the Democrats. We're diverting away from the questions of why January 6th happened, and that was what happened in the election in November 2020, on November 3rd, and all the significant and legitimate questions that people had and were frustrated about, especially after watching the violence over the summer of 2020 with the George Floyd riots and destruction around the nation.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, it was really interesting to hear what Fox News had to say about it last night. They basically said that it was a non-event, Jim, and I'm not sure that it was a non-event personally. I know Trump has responded to it, as we're going to talk about it later in the show. Trump has responded by saying, I got no problem coming to talk with you guys. I just want it to be televised.
Yeah, he wants to get the other side of the story out.
Right.
So the crescendo, the big event yesterday was to actually vote to subpoena Donald Trump to testify before the committee.
Right.
Of course, as we know, you know, this is before the midterms. Congress is going to be recessed here in just a couple of days in order to go home and campaign for the last few weeks before the November election.
Yeah.
And so there's really nothing that's going to come of any of this before the elections. And of course, we know that the two key Republicans or rhinos on the committee, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, they're not even going to be in Congress.
No, they won't, especially Liz. I'm surprised that Liz Cheney took it to the extreme that she did, Jim. I really am, because that pretty much, I know she did it because she thought that was the right thing to do, but I think that's going to kill her chances politically in future elections, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's not going to run again for anything as a Republican.
Right.
And Democrats won't like her either. They'll completely turn on her. And I think it was really dumb of her to do that. But more importantly, she had the idea. And I don't think she was doing the right thing. I think she was doing a political event to try to, in coordination with other Republicans, quote, in name only, that wanted to protect the system over the people of the United States. I mean, there are very serious questions about what happened in November of 2020 in that election. They needed to be reviewed.
Yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, you had these massive lockdowns, you had these massive changes in local election laws, you had very significant issues in each one of the five counties that made the difference in the election.
Right.
And you had a lot of money that poured in order to facilitate potential corrupt activities. So, we can go through the list of the problems.
Of course,
but I would recommend people actually look at Donald Trump's written response to Congressman Thompson, the chair of the committee.
Right.
In the last few pages, it specifically identifies the issues from each one of the states, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and then kind of goes in general issues in other states.
Yeah.
But it gives specific things that would change the outcome of the election if they were fully investigated or if they were actually held to the standards that were existing law. And so those questions were valid. The fact that people got out and protested, the fact that everyone was ignoring it, and the media was like trying to silence everybody, and the and actually members of the administration, like Bill Barr, were stifling investigations that could have shown significant fraud.
Yeah.
And that's, people were fed up with that. And it got out of hand. There's no question. There's really no justification for violence. But at the same time, very clearly, Donald Trump, and the evidence is very clear, offered the National Guard, offered Department of Defense to help secure the Capitol. The Capitol Police turned it down. They're responding to Nancy Pelosi, and Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., turned it down. By law, they had to approve of that request of those deployments. They did not do it, which meant they were setting up this entire fiasco in order to show to a political campaign plan to tie Trump to the violence, to the frustration. And unfortunately, some people fell victim of getting overzealous. There were people injured. There were, there was some damage. Nothing compared to the entire summer of, 2020 in the George Floyd.
No, not even close.
Yeah, Tiffa, not even close.
No.
But that's, bottom line is now the government, meaning Joe Biden's Department of Justice and FBI and the Democratic Party, are trying to use this as a campaign ploy in order to keep power.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, for all the nation, but certainly for some people, they are going overboard to enforce political agendas rather than, justice under the law.
Yeah. Well, what I find to be surprising, really surprising, is one thing that people are forgetting. I remember I was very, very attuned to what was going on January 6th of that particular year. And I remember specifically when Trump was talking to the quote-unquote demonstrators, he was very, very adamant about saying, do not engage in any violent actions. And that hasn't even come close.
He said peacefully go over and make your voices heard.
Right.
And it did, there were people that did get, there was a lot of tension, a lot of pressure. Some of it was instigated.
Yeah.
Law enforcement allowed people into the Capitol.
Yeah.
That there's video evidence of that.
Yeah.
But this Department of Justice is not looking at any of that. They're not looking at Antifa. They're not looking at about burning down or attempting to burn down the justice, the federal building in Portland. They're not looking at the massive fires and destruction,
right,
and the people of Antifa. They're just focusing right now on conservatives and Trump supporters.
Yeah.
In a fraudulent attempt to paint conservatives as threats to democracy and the Constitution.
Well, I think
it's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. Ultimately, it's not going to work. And I think the proof is going to be in the pudding in the election that's going to happen this particular November. I think the American people are fed up with basically the scenario that the Democrats are trying to paint, because I don't think that's going to dry, if you want to know the truth, Jim. I really don't. And I think the frustration of the Republicans against the Democrats is probably going to really overshadow the election coming up in, actually less than a month here. So
yeah.
I am very, very unhappy about that fact. I'm very unhappy with the way the country is going. I'm wondering how can the Democrats, who supported, for lack of better terms, through their lack of action, the CHOP situation in Seattle, when people were actually killed, how can you even think that in this case that was simply not something that was the fault of the Democrats? I don't get it. Jimmy, we got to take a real quick commercial break here. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
for chatting with Jim McKinney, obviously, Jim being the co-host of the show. We're talking a little bit about the January 6th hearing. Jim, you had a few other additional things you wanted to say about that.
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand what any political entity's policies are, what their plan is. And you could tell from the beginning of the Trump administration that they created a level of hate and animosity through massive support of the media and newspapers and tech companies in order to paint this picture of a very evil, dark Donald Trump. And it worked.
Yeah, it did.
And then they used this whole Russian narrative that the Russians were involved and that's the only way that Trump could have gotten elected, which turned out to be completely false.
You better
they do. Used this phone call, Ukrainian call, to impeach him. They used the January 6th to do a second impeachment. Then they built this narrative that somehow he's a threat to democracy, and basically you can't be authoritarian if you deregulate. He's deregulating. You can't be an authoritarian if you're trying to hold government accountable. And that's what he was attempting to do. But the problem that Donald Trump has is he did not understand the level of support that leftist progressives had developed inside the Beltway, inside Washington, that was actually begun under the Obama administration.
Right.
Where people were not thinking clearly nor wisely. So here are the two main policies that the Democrats, you have to understand their plan, there are two main policies that they were campaigning on for this November midterm election. The first one was Trump is a threat to democracy, and then that evolved into all conservatives or Americans or MAGA, ultra MAGA people that supported Trump are a threat to democracy. And the second plan was to the Dobbs decision, the overturning Roe v. Wade, and abortion.
Yeah.
Those are their two fundamental platforms. Those, in my view, politically, were a massive mistake. You were fabricating the January 6th insurrection as an insurrection, if you're a Democrat. Yes, there are very dedicated, loyal Democrats that listen to the MSNBC and the left-wing media, New York Times, Washington Post, that will believe that. There's still people that believe the Russians colluded in order to help Trump win. But the independent voters and the conservatives know better, and independent voters are questioning what's going on. And now you have a plurality of Americans actually believing that there were real significant problems in the November 2020 election, which would mean that there's justification for people to be out there protesting on January 6th. So that's a failure. And the abortion issue is down the list from the economy, down the list from the border, down the list below the Afghanistan pullout, the war in Ukraine, the threats of violence. And here you have Joe Biden, the president of the United States, going out and telling people in campaign fundraising events that we may be facing Armageddon. That level of frustration and that level of built animosity the Democrats have used for now, 6 years, is not making people's lives better.
No, it isn't.
And that's what I see happening. Our society is crumbling, and we're seeing it with crime, we're seeing it with violence, and we're seeing it with the border, we're seeing it with all these cops that are being shot because of Democratic policies that attempted to reshape society in a vision that they believe is good for everyone else. And a lot of it is based on a climate agenda. A lot of it is based on just trying to be destructive. And unfortunately, I think it's bad for the country, but politically, I think abortion and the January 6th and these other issues are not going to help them in this November.
Jimmy, when you say the Democrats are just trying to be destructive, you want to elaborate on that for me, please?
Yeah, when was the last time you heard the Democrats talk about a positive direction for the nation? When was the last great idea that came from Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, or any political leader? I mean, think about it. I have not heard the idea of improving, you know, going, expanding our, you know, our industry, pulling back into China. Now, I've heard them talk about it, but I haven't seen actions to make it,
right,
to make that happen.
No.
You know, they talk about a lot of things, but it just doesn't, it doesn't make any sense when they are continually fabricating information and saying things about the economy, for instance, that that actually people just like tip their head and say, what do you mean? You know, the gas hike is Putin's fault when you stop the Keystone Pipeline.
Right.
You know, when you're actually regulating fossil fuels to the point where people are, you know, companies cannot invest in it. When you're actually using law enforcement to silence opposition, and you're partnering with tech companies to silence people on COVID lockdowns and the potential negative effects of the vaccines. People are like waking up to this. Not to mention, they are very frustrated with the social issues that are being pushed by the Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, the big arguments that they're out there trying to, oh, we all have to be equal, so we're going to teach your children transgender ideology and make sure you they accept it in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. We're going to have trans shows and have your family come to them.
Transgender shows. Yeah, that's at schools. That's, I know that's one of the reasons that you guys left the area here. You were just fed up with the moral values of the public school system, and I applaud you for that.
Yeah, and you know, we are actually out here where people still care about their kids' education, and they're not worried about woke agendas and woke policies.
Yeah.
And you see in Washington State, in Oregon, in California, you're seeing a lot of these ideologies being pushed at a very young level. And that's, of course, not a positive movement. It's not something that actually benefits these kids or actually even, you know, benefits the Democratic Party, with the exception of it separates children from their parents.
Right.
And that is destructive. And that's why I say the Democrats are actually causing a lot of separation, destruction, and divisiveness in society, including the racial issues. The diversity issues, they're not bringing people together and they're not unifying. They want to separate and divide, and that's negative.
It's very negative. There's no question about that. We've got about a minute left here in this this segment, Jim. It is a short segment. I'm looking forward to the rest of the show in the sense that there are a lot of things going on in the country that I think are very, very negative for the Democrats. I know you are confident that the Congress will be taken over by the conservatives. We're going to talk about that later in the show. I agree 100%. I think the House will be taken over, and I think the Senate will be taken over, and I think America needs that. There's no question about that. You guys, top of the hour news is coming up now. And after that, Jimmy and I will be right back. Come on the blog, voice your opinions.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
For the second half of KER Politics, I want to talk a little bit about a book that I'm reading. It's a book by Jared Kushner. It is a very, very interesting book. If you believe what he says, and I happen to choose to be to believe in what people say until they prove me wrong, the Trump family in general, including... you know, Jared, Melania, and Jared's wife are really pretty decent people. Trump, as Jim has depicted him over the past couple, 3, 4, 5 years, is a gunfighter. He doesn't put up with BS. And unfortunately, in my opinion, there are sometimes, I think, when you have to put up with a little bit of BS. And he refuses to do that. And I respect him for that. That's my opinion about Donald Trump. I don't know where we're going to go in the next election in terms of Trump or what have you. But I want to tell you, I really firmly believe that some changes have to be made in America. I do not whatsoever respect a lot of what the progressives are doing right now. Jimmy, you got a comment on that?
Yeah, I just agree with you. What's happening right now is becoming apparent to everyone in our culture. I think that they just don't want to live with these types of restrictions. They don't want to live with the inflation, the crime, the border openings, and of course the national security failures.
Right.
And I think you've got a lot of tension. It comes off 2 years, 2.5 years worth of government attempting to manipulate and control people over the COVID crisis.
Right.
And of course the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the war in Ukraine, and the president of the United States, Joe Biden actually saying, oh, we might go to nuclear war, hey, this could be Armageddon.
Yeah.
I mean, these types of things we don't want that. Americans don't want that. But it has a tremendous impact on our psyche and the direction, our own feelings and how we interact with others. And of course, socially in society, it's very damaging.
Yep. No, I agree 100%. No question about that. I think we kind of talked this one into the ground, Jimmy. I'd like to talk a little bit about the current situation economically in the United States. Natural News, which is a site that obviously I'm on their mailing list, brought up an interesting fact this morning, and that was that when the inflation numbers were announced yesterday, the inflation number for food is 40%. That's scary, Jim.
Yeah. Basically, what it's saying is the price of food has gone up tremendously over the last year and a half, and overall costs have gone up, about 40%. And of course, we've had the same with gas. It's been 40%. It's actually going to be climbing again. For a while there, it was over 100% increase. And of course, with these efforts to try to empty the national stockpile of emergency fuel by the Biden regime, that's going to have a bigger impact. They've done nothing to stop inflation. The Fed has actually admitted they've printed $4.8 billion in the last year and a half, and that's what's causing this.
Yeah.
And right now, attempting to put interest rates up, which are really stifling the economy. That's their goal, is to stifle the economy.
Yeah.
The Fed's goal is in order to stop the inflation.
Why in God's name would that be their goal, Jim? I don't get it.
Well, okay, so the problem is if you allow inflation to continue to go, I mean, basically people have lost about almost a third of their 401ks, their retirement money. If you had $1 million in the bank, you're down $120,000 at least right now in your over just the last year.
Yeah.
So that if it continues, then pretty much, the country just collapses. Economically, we collapse. So they've got to do something about it. The problem was they waited too long. They were unprepared. But more importantly, we've allowed both parties to continue to spend uncontrollably. And this is the result of it.
Yeah.
And so the frustration level's there. Why are they going to do this? They, in order to keep stability of the nation, you're going to see some hard times. There's no question, because the inflation numbers this week have gone up again, more than expected. We've got a core inflation up 0.6%, 6.6 year over year. These are really damaging things. And of course, what that does is really, the U.S. economy is the largest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We affect other economies around the world, and some of those economies affect us. And what's happening in Ukraine with the oil, the energy in Europe, and this continual push for green energy that is really kind of the underlying theme of the Biden regime in order to stop fossil fuel use in America, they're willing to sacrifice Americans' independence and financial stability. Thank God that a lot of Europe and a lot of the people in the United States are waking up to the fact that this is incredibly destabilizing and very damaging, and, oh, by the way, maybe based on more fraudulent information than actual fact.
Well, I'll tell you, let me give you some numbers that are kind of interesting right now. And one of the numbers has to do with the various markets around the country. Earlier this morning, the markets had rebounded from yesterday and Wednesday pretty significantly. But as of this recording, which is about 9:46 a.m. On Friday, the S&P is down 55. The Dow is down 197. And the NASDAQ is down 218. Russell is down 28.9. So it's kind of interesting, Jim. Crude oil, interestingly enough, happens to be down to about $86.17 a barrel, which is less than it was a few days ago. But the fact of the matter is the rebound that was occurring in the market has stopped.
Yeah, it was one day. And like I say, there's a lot of volatility. We talked about it yesterday a little bit in our daily editorial. The volatility index is super high. You've got a lot of people trading on that volatility in order to make money. So they like it when it's up and down. You know, if you're a VIX trader, you like that up and down movement.
Yeah.
If you're playing it right. And when you look at these, almost, 2% in the S&P, 2.5% for the NASDAQ, down at 1% today, you're going to see more of that as you see inflation and pressures on housing, rents, and the impact of the Fed's raising of rates. It's over 7%, or it's at 7% for a new mortgage right now. That's going to slow housing. That's going to have a huge impact on the economy. A lot of jobs as we go into the wintertime are going to be dropped. Certainly a lot of construction, a lot of non-farm jobs are going to be dropping. And you're seeing companies actually shift their pressures, prepare for what is very clearly going to be a very negative economic growth period. But what we're seeing, the interesting part about it, because of this, you're seeing pushback all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in Italy with Meloni and Giorgia Meloni winning there, what you see in Poland, what you see the pressures, what Hungary's done for a while, what happened in the UK.
How about the Scandinavian countries, Jim?
Well, yes, they're pushing
same
back.
Thing. Right.
Yeah. They're saying, wait a second, we got to get back to some fiscal conservative and some socially conservative policies.
Right.
We've got to get back to actually protecting our borders. We've got to get back to protecting our manufacturing. We've got to get away from being dependent on bad actors. And that, I think, is going to turn things around. And, of course, as we go into the next segment, we need to talk a lot about what's happening in the politics here in the United States to see what the direction and what potentially could happen after this midterm election, barring any corruption and any illegal activities that may put questions back in the minds.
Well, I think that corruption, I think inaccurate vote counting, I think is going to be a huge, huge slap in the face of the Americans. And I wish whoever gets involved in illegal vote counting would realize that. You have to do, as a politician, what's right for your country. You guys, want you to stick around. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk today about, in the wrap, we're going to talk about what's going on politically in the United States, what's really important in the upcoming election, which is about a month away. Jimmy, why don't you start us out?
Yeah, so there's some very interesting polling that's going on out there, if you believe the polls. And I have a hard time believing any of the polls, but I think there's some underlying facts that are going to change the outcomes of November election that are not even being captured by polling.
Yeah.
So the Rasmussen ballot, the general ballot right now, they're coming out, they just came out with a poll. It's probably one of the ones just before the end of this election cycle. It's showing Republicans, conservatives with about a 7% increase in the overall general ballot. All right. Now that means, I'm sorry, 7% above Democrats.
Yeah.
That's a big spread. And 49 to 42%. And, you know, there's a plus or minus one or two points in that. However, I think that polling agencies, what they do is they operate, even Rasmussen, they operate by, you know, getting by phone calls, by social media, by outreach with on cell and other areas that they try to actually gather a general idea. And it's a small representative sample, and that should reflect what they're doing around the country.
Yeah.
Most polling in America is done kind of significantly in big urban areas, and those big urban areas tend to go left. What the polling will not capture is so in 2020, there was a discrepancy with suburban housewives, suburban moms that didn't go out for Trump. And that probably shifted the outcome of the overall election if you take away the other questionable ethical issues and the potential corruption. But what you're seeing with this push to put critical race theory in schools,
yeah,
to have drag queen shows at elementary school level for, quote, family events,
yeah,
and that's happening across the country, you're seeing very large numbers of suburban moms that are incredibly frustrated with what's happening. They were frustrated that their children were locked out of school and they had to somehow, you know, bend their lives around in order to keep them out of school when there was, yeah, no threat to them. And that overall, the population, as we talked about previously in the show, is incredibly frustrated with what's happened in the U.S. Over with economy, with inflation, with the, you know, the border issues, with, yeah, the national security issues. So I think a lot of people that would typically be in those polling numbers are going to get out and be involved because they just see the direction the nation's going. And I think that's going to very significantly impact these elections more so than any of these polling organizations will be able to capture. And in spite of even these left-wing Democratic urban area-centered polls that show some numbers that would make it look close, I tend to believe that they're going to be, as in 2016 and in most cases in 2020, inaccurate.
Yeah. Okay, now, you say I tend to believe that. Why do you think they're going to be inaccurate, Jim? I happen to agree with you because I think there is a huge groundswell of conservatives coming up in America, as certainly is the case in the European countries. Tell me how you feel about that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The people like the suburban moms, the independents that, yeah, usually don't care, they care now because they see the direction of the country. They don't want to be identified as a conservative or a liberal.
Right.
But at this point, they're going to come out. And you're seeing this huge switch towards conservative candidates in many, yeah, of these areas. And you see the minority parties, you know, like a 60% sweep. Switch from Hispanics moving towards conservatives.
Yeah.
That's huge. And at least maybe 15 to 20% in the black communities. And so the polls don't capture those movements very well because they're not used to polling those types of groups. So I think that's why they're going to be inaccurate. But I also think there's some very interesting Senate races. A lot of people think the Senate could go close. It could go back to Democratic control. But I think there's some really interesting races to watch in the next couple of weeks. And
let's talk about those, Jim.
Yeah, so let's start with some of the more interesting ones. And this is what I think, you know, they're close and they're moving up. So Ryan is the incumbent Democrat in Ohio, and he's been, you know, debating J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance looks like he's got the advantage there. So that's a Democratic loss in the Senate, it looks like.
Yeah.
Cortez Masteo, the incumbent Democrat in Nevada. It looks like Adam Laxalt is actually increasing his and gaining and making that an even race in the polling. There's another one that I think is quite interesting, and it's Don Bulldog and Hassan in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Bulldog is a retired general. He's a very strong Trump supporter, but Tulsi Gabbard jumped in on his case. And I think in New Hampshire, that's going to turn a lot of libertarians toward Bulldog, which may tip the balance there. Right there in Washington State, Tiffany Smiley has
I don't know. You know, I'm following that particular race very, very closely. And I was, interestingly enough, watching our commercials on television are absolutely inundated with, on the one hand, Tiffany smiling, and then immediately after that, Patty Murray. It's just absolutely, and it's all centering around the abortion issue, Jim. Totally.
Well, which is really interesting to see if, in fact, that's going to carry the load. I think most people are more concerned about, actually, most Americans are much more concerned about the economy, about border security, about crime than they are. And, of course, these at-home issues, these school issues, right,
yeah.
Which we saw why it's completely changed in Virginia, and the polling was completely off there with Youngkin's victory. And the entire senior executive branch of Virginia switched red, and I think you're going to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Smiley's actually within 2 points of Patty Murphy, according to polling. So if you're not capturing some of these other people, that may shift. And if Murphy keeps, and the Democrats thought they could win on abortion, and they thought they could win on January 6th. January 6th is fading. No one cares about it anymore. In fact, more people question today the outcome of the election than did after the inauguration in 2021.
Yep. Yep.
So there's another close one in Arizona with Mark Kelly, the former astronaut, Blake Masters. And Masters, so Mitch McConnell had dropped funding for Masters' campaign once he won the nomination because Masters was a pro-Trump guy, strong Trump guy. Guess what? He and Peter Thiel just partnered up, and they're going to put $10 million into Masters' campaign now because they see the writing on the wall.
Yeah,
you got people like Murkowski and Chewbacca in Alaska. Murkowski's the incumbent Republican that voted to impeach Trump. Sabak is definitely strong Republican pro-Trumper. It looks like she's going to have victory there.
Yeah.
And then you've got the incumbent Warnock in Georgia, and then Herschel Walker, which is, he's had some challenges because of this abortion issue with him.
Yeah.
But he's actually gaining in the polls as well, and Warnock's beginning to fade. And there's some more information on Warnock that's come out that's very negative, with his church actually trying to kick people out of housing that they own for like $28 debts. Very powerful stuff.
Yeah.
As well as him attempting to run over his wife. Not very Christian-like. So these races, in Georgia, in New Hampshire, in Arizona, Nevada and Ohio, they could all switch. There's a potential. They're close. They can all switch from Dem to Republican.
Yeah.
So, again, my prediction is that it's going to be a 53-47 House split with Republicans, and maybe a little bit better from that. So we'll see. We'll see where things go right now.
Jim, you're talking about the House. We've only got about 30
seconds. We've only got 30.
Oh, you mean the Senate. Okay, talk about the House real quick. You got 30 seconds left.
Yeah, so the House, it looks like, I predict there's going to be about a 50-seat increase because of these same issues. And a lot of Democrats right now are reeling, and they can't get the president on their team. They don't want Joe Biden anywhere near their campaigns.
Right.
That's going to hurt the Democrats.
I don't think there's any question about that. First time in history I have ever seen that. Jimmy, thanks a lot. You guys, it's been fun putting this together. Stick around. We'll be back, of course, next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.